Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, police.
Oh my God!
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucka!
Hello, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Amanda is back tomorrow. You're back from vacations. I'm going on vacation. It's officially summer. I'm going to Spain next week. Can't freaking wait.
Nice. Are you going to Brian's wedding? Is that
I'm going to Brian's wedding.
Nice. So exciting.
Oh, wow. I'm so ready. It's like been the only thing that's kept me going. Danny got COVID. I wasn't feeling great. I had a toothache. There's been so much going on, but I was like, but come hell or high water, I'll be in Spain next week.
Elise, please share freely on social media. Do not spare us anything.
I will not
see it all.
I will not spare even one detail. I'm so excited.
I heard him describe it on the Betches Brides podcast. Not to plug, mm-hmm. but you know, if you want to know more about Brian's wedding, it sounds like it is going to be the best time. I mean, there's really nothing that rivals.
I went over the weekend, got all my stuff pressed so that it'll be nice. I bought a like nice garment bag so that I can bring my stuff over nicely. I'm very excited about it. Putting beautiful vacations and whatnot aside and coming right back to the bleak American reality.
I mean, you can only escape for so long.
I know, for like the couple seconds at the top of the podcast. And then we're back. The United States had another bleak and deadly but totally predictable weekend. We had 10 mass shootings in 2 days. Over the weekend, there were shootings in Texas, South Carolina, Philadelphia, Tennessee, 2 in Arizona, 1 in Nebraska, Virginia, Georgia, and Kentucky. They took place at everything from a high school graduation party to a funeral to a nightclub. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It did seem like because society went away for a while, this problem was like almost out of the spotlight for 2 years. And now it's like very much back in the spotlight.
Right. I know that, I mean, we're reporting on this amount of mass shootings, but I actually kind of think statistically it wasn't that much lower before they've now started reporting a lot on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this was kind of happening in the background. And again, not every mass shooting has like the salience of an elementary school or the death toll that some of these have. But it's the fact that ultimately at any given point, Americans can walk into completely benign places that aren't, you would think are safe. And there's just a risk of somebody pulling out a weapon. And when you see how likely that is, it's, you know, people really should be paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. And I do feel like after these, like, as bleak as it is, like, big ticket mass shootings where, like, something really horrific happens and we're refocused on the issue again, we have these, like, you know, these moments where we're like, and then there were 10 more this weekend, and we're like, we're really paying attention. But this is actually just kind of the state of affairs that, like, every weekend in America, there are 10 or more events where somebody, for some reason, pulls out a gun and shoots. Sometimes there's actually like a personal dispute that's happening. Sometimes it's, again, one of these situations where they're doing it indiscriminately. There's just all sorts of reasons, but it goes back to what you're saying. Like, it's because everyone has access to weapons at all times and is allowed to bring them pretty much indiscriminately in public in many of these places.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, and the thing is, yes, we do. We have repeated the cycle, you know, Sandy Hook, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, you know, anytime there's a Tree of Life synagogue, anytime there's something, I think, like either in a school or like a house of worship, those tend to be more salient. And then we talk about this for a few days later. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the reason that nothing gets done is because you can't change the legislative and electoral reality. And the fact that we are living under a system where the will of the minority is the one that gets to be reflected in the law. And until there are substantial changes made, whether it's, and I think there are, we can talk about, you know, sort of the specific policies that are on the table that could all make a dent. Even like, let's say like raising the age to 21 seems like just sort of a no-brainer. Give these kids brains some time to develop, especially since statistics are showing that mass shooters are getting younger. Even simple things like that, you just can't get them done because of the legislative reality of needing 60 votes in the Senate. And that's just it.
Yeah. So, okay. That brings us perfectly into what I have next here, which is, so Senator Chris Murphy, senator from Connecticut, he's been, you know, trying to get something done on this since Sandy Hook. He said over the weekend that he's more confident than ever that in Congress's ability to pass gun laws at this moment, particularly strengthening background checks, red flag laws, and mental health resources. But he did also say that they're definitely not going to do like an assault weapons ban or a comprehensive background check thing. So it's like, he's kind of saying we can definitely do something, but we're not going to see, you know, a ban on assault weapons or things, I mean, that really would make a lot of sense to do.
Again, look, I personally, I refuse to be like Lucy with the football or Charlie with the football, I guess, technically. The Republicans.
Yeah, I guess
Lucy.
They're Lucy. We're Charlie.
We're Charlie. I am tired of it. I am sick of, like, you know, when we report this daily, you know, reporting, oh, we might get something done. It looks like we're moving closer to Build Back Better. It looks like we might get a tiny little baby package. I am so tired of having these conversations. I almost like don't even believe in discussing them until it is like, but you're voting for it.
I've been feeling because the same way.
Because ultimately what happens is people hear, oh, maybe they're going to do something. And then you get a little quiet. The time moves on. And that's what Republicans rely on every goddamn time. They rely on another problem. Inflation's high. Something happened in Ukraine. Who the fuck knows what they might, what might come up? The Queen, like, is, who knows? It's just, they rely on that, like, moving of attention. And the fact that they were barely going to do anything anyway, and people disengage, and then nothing happens on anything. Anything.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of been feeling.
Think about what did get passed. The reconciliation bill and, like, that infrastructure bill. Those are two things that you knew were going to get passed from the beginning. Like, there was never really any efforts that needed to push it. You know, like, it was just kind of like, we have to, like, go through the process and it'll, like, they knew it would get done. But nothing ever gets done that, like, might get done.
I was writing the newsletter today and I was just writing, like, who's in this bipartisan group, right? And it's, like, Manchin and Sinema and Lindsey Graham and all these people who, like you said, are known football pullers. Who always attach themselves to a working group of some bullshit and then...
to seem bipartisan.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like, but ultimately, because of this one word in Clause B, I will be removing my support. And so I feel really similarly to you, where it's like, I obviously want to know what's going on. I want to know what bills I can support if they actually get to a certain point.
You can't support any bills, though, Elise. Like,
yeah.
You, like, yes, you can call. And I know Emily in her phone does so much great stuff with action. And I think, like, people should continue to follow, you know, like if there is an action you can take, you should take it. But in terms of like, like the analysis of reality, like I just don't see any other levers being pulled that would change the calculus for those 10 Republicans and Joe Manchin.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too, is I'm just like, I mean, I just keep feeling like we've been here before. I would love to see a bill passed. If things actually do seem different and can change in some way, and I feel like, oh, there is something I can do, I will obviously do it. But at this point, it's like, it's up to these weird, like, nefarious powers, it seems like, to decide, like, if their calculus has changed.
Well, what I do think does make a difference is sustained engagement. I think that the fact that only a small core group of people in, like, let's say the quote-unquote mainstream stays engaged, that makes it really easy for the Republicans to pull the football. Because that's the only reason they put the football down in the first place, is because people get mad.
Yeah, they're like, oh, okay, we have to do something.
Right, you hear the average person like getting upset, becoming engaged. They put the football down. A little time passes, the average person disengages, and they pull it away because they know no one's paying attention anymore. And they already got like their kudos for putting the football down. So this is the closest we'll ever get to a sports analogy. And it's actually just a peanuts analogy.
Yeah, and it's actually just about a cartoon.
I'm sure you've swiped past lots of custom beauty brands over the years. Customize this and personalize that, all promising to fix my hair and skin insecurities. It's easy to be skeptical, but when Pros says custom, they actually mean it. Your formula literally could not exist without you. Since I started using Pros, I've noticed consistently healthy hair, even with all I put it through with heat tools and hairsprays to get this pompadour sky high. It smells great, looks fancy on the shelf, and it has my name right on it. Each and every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique brand of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. Pros covers everything from your concerns to diet, exercise, and stress levels to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin health. Next, they'll recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were only produced after I placed my order. Nothing is pre-mixed. Nothing is off the shelf. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, Pros proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering our listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. They're giving you 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/feverdream. That's PROSE.com/feverdream for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/feverdream.
Okay, I want to move on to our next topic now, which is also frustrating and strange in a different way. The Special Olympics began in Orlando over the weekend, but not before. They were bullied by Ron DeSantis. So Ron DeSantis basically, he threatened the Special Olympics with a $27.5 million fine if they didn't drop their vaccine mandate. The Special Olympics issued a statement saying they were lifting the mandate over the weekend based upon the Florida Department of Health's interpretation of Florida law. The state bans requiring proof of vaccination to gain access to spaces and events. Florida's had that, I think, for a while. Like, you can't.
Yeah,
that was for proof of vaccine anywhere, even the Special Olympics, which is so crazy.
Right. I can't imagine a place where you would want to be more careful about people's health, like in the whole world.
Yeah.
Maybe a hospital.
Right. It just seems like.
But they don't really care about those either.
No, they don't. You can't require it in a hospital, I guess, for general reasons, because a hospital has to, like, treat everyone who comes to a hospital. But anyway, I just imagine that the vaccine versus not vaccine situation going into the Special Olympics is probably really complicated between, like, immunocompromised people who, like, really can't get COVID versus immunocompromised people who can't get the vaccine, because there are some people who can't get the vaccine. And it's just, like, It's so shitty for Ron DeSantis to try to insert himself in that when, like, these people just want to have their Special Olympics.
Well, I wonder, like, I guess I'm sure people who can't get the vaccine maybe got, like, a waiver, you know? So you would think, but I mean, they're spectators. That's who I imagine is, like, more, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, COVID's going around right now. It's definitely spiking. I obviously, like, I don't know. It seems like it could probably be potentially complicated requiring versus or not requiring vaccines for that event. But Florida, the state of Florida, does not need to be involved in making that decision. And threatening to fine the Special Olympics millions of dollars is so fucked up. Like, I bet the Special Olympics needs millions of dollars. Like, my guess would be that they're millions of dollars underfunded from what they need to really put on the very important event that they put together.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, this is classic Florida, you know, sort of bullying their biggest attractions around Orlando.
That, absolutely. So DeSantis did, you know, he always comes out. What is, like, does virtue signaling apply to the right? Or yes. I feel like it's mostly wielded against the left, but it does apply to the right. I feel like they use it against us, but he, like, virtue signals to the right all the time. So,
yeah, virtue signaling is a neutral term depending on what your virtues are. And their virtues are bullying the Special Olympics.
Special Olympics. So, yeah, anyway, he, like, virtue signaled a bunch. He came out and made a bunch of idiotic comments saying he couldn't possibly understand why a vaccine against a respiratory virus could have anything to do with athletes. Like, he's just, you know, he makes all of these sanctimonious athletes statements. Then he says that we've never. Yeah, exactly. Like, what could these particular athletes have to do with a respiratory virus? Foolish. So then he said, we've never seen something wielded like this vaccine to try to marginalize disfavored people, which is another Ron DeSantis favorite, which is to, like, take, like, quote unquote, what they would call woke language and, like, redistribute it and be like, they're marginalizing these people who were unvaccinated. A lot of these Special Olympians have also had COVID by now, or most people have had it by now, which, yes, a lot of people have had COVID. That doesn't mean they want to get it again. That doesn't mean they want to get it, like, before they compete in the Special Olympics.
You can easily get COVID multiple times. So this whole, like, we've had it doesn't really mean anything. And again, it's really just like you said about the virtue signaling against this event, sort of, like you said, wielding it to make a point, to make himself seem like big bad DeSantis. And then you have people who are like, I love what DeSantis did there with the Special Olympics, you know, saving those athletes.
Yeah, he really stuck it to the Special Olympics.
From fucking up their lung capacity by not getting COVID. Like, again,
we don't actually know the long-term effects of having gotten COVID, getting COVID multiple times. These are people who have varying degrees of, like, disability. Why would we want to expose them to something that we don't, you know?
They should have a really careful testing regime at the Special Olympics anyway that goes beyond the vaccine mandate. And, like, again, I feel like it's not even about the mandate as much as it's about just, like, him trying to perform. Like, this is he's Kim Kardashian, and this week he is releasing this photo with Pete Davidson.
Yeah. Exactly. This is his thing of the week. I mean, he does a really good job of keeping himself in the culture war. Literally every week he has a new thing that he's up to. He's fighting with somebody.
He's and like the General Sherman or General Lee of the General Sherman.
It's working for him. Yeah. It is working for what he wants. And if Donald Trump doesn't decide to run in 2024, it's doing exactly what he wants for him, his career.
I believe he would forget Trump. I believe he would 100% beat Mike Pence in a primary.
Oh, my God. He could slap Mike Pence publicly.
Yeah, he could shoot Mike Pence on Fifth Avenue.
The bloodlust for Mike Pence has been proven. Yeah. So, like, there's the respect for Mike Pence is so low.
Speaking of, this week on Thursday, they are taking Friends' old, famously old spot, Thursday's prime time, 8 p.m., yes, to air the hearings.
I know. They're going to be public January 6th hearings this week. I'm interested. It's been a long time since we've had a negative hearing. The last hearing was Ketanji, but those, well, I guess those turned negative because certain people made them negative that they didn't need to be. So those had ups and downs emotionally. But this is the first like juicy goss hearing.
Well, they say they're going to release never before seen things. So
can't wait.
It's like can't a trailer. Wait. Are you going to watch that? Or are you going to watch Kardashians on Hulu? Not to bring them up again, but
I mean, that is the vibe. It's like, yeah. I'm like, ooh, I can't wait. Well, I'm going to be out. No, I won't be out of town yet. Yes, I will. I'll be out of town. And I'm actually Thursday not night? Going to watch. My flight is Wednesday night. Nice, and I will be in Madrid, paying absolutely zero attention to that, but I'll come back and I'm interested to hear what they say.
Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. And like I told you guys before, I got my wedding bands on Etsy. I was able to meet with a creative, independent artist. They took my vision into reality, and now my wife and I have custom wedding bands that we absolutely love. A gifting moment is always just around the corner, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you. Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Speaking of travels abroad, beep, 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 pip, pip, cheerio, it's British news. There's a lot of British news.
I love this.
There's so much going on.
I know we said in the beginning that we had to come back to our country, but now we get to leave again. Mm-hmm.
We get to leave. We get to leave for the rest of the episode because there's a lot going on. This past weekend was the Queen's Platinum Jubilee in England, which I just in general think we need to be making use of the word jubilee more.
I was thinking the same. World.
You know how people are always saying, like, we need to have, like, registries and special parties for people when they get promotions and stuff like that? That's Jubilee, because the Jubilee celebrates her getting her job.
Promoted to the C-suite Jubilee.
Exactly, because that's basically what it is. It celebrates her coronation. So 70 years since Queen Elizabeth took that crown, as we saw in season one of The Crown. She had that whole thing with her and Philip and what they were going to be called. We all remember. So, so on Thursday, she made a public appearance on the Buckingham Palace balcony, which is a big deal because she's actually moved out of Buckingham Palace to a different palace, which I guess is more comfortable and more manageable for her at 96 years old. So after she made this appearance, the palace issued a statement saying she would not be appearing at some of the Friday events that she was scheduled to be at because she was experiencing some discomfort. Again, she's 96 years old. I think that their specific thing was that it was like because of the travel and energy taken, like energy that will be needed, she can't attend. And I was like, that's the way that I want to decline every invitation. I'm like, because of the travel and energy needed, I will unfortunately not be attending.
You should get like a card to send back, like, you know, in Gilded Age when they would like collect those cards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm so sorry. I'll appear at my balcony and wave and then just be like, but I can't really be going to the outdoor events. No.
Yeah, I mean, they said mobility issues, which, you know, fair.
She's 96.
She's been lost
the
her husband
queen for 70 years. Yes.
Right. When people, it's like a thing with old people where, like, once, you know, you have your spouse and your spouse passes, like, I think it's much harder for the remaining spouse to the surviving spouse, not the remaining spouse, to like function as well, I think. Generally, that's like a known thing.
Yeah, exactly. She's, I mean, whatever. Listen, I think we can say as far as the Jubilee, she's doing her best. On the last day of the celebrations, which was Sunday, she did make an unscheduled appearance on the balcony again. That was with Charles and Camilla, William and Kate, and their kids, George, Charlotte, and Louis. Louis's been getting so much of the attention because he's been like fussy at the events in what I found to be a very cute way.
Yeah, let's just hope they don't like Prince Harry him, where they like, because he's fussy as a kid, they turn him into like an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, because like fussy kid quickly becomes unruly teenager. And then before you know it, he's like the problem. He's Prince Andrew.
I don't think that it should be extrapolated beyond like he's a little kid. He's wearing a suit. He's at 5 hours worth of events that are fully boring. Like, I think that he's
restless.
Bring this
kid a toy. Where is Kathy Hilton with the Barbie dolls?
He wants, just give him, honestly, give him a screen. Give him an iPad.
They could imagine.
I don't care.
You imagine?
Oh,
they would never.
It would be like, it would be absolute, like, chaos. It brings down the British Empire that Louis had an iPad at this Jubilee.
No, that
but
would
like,
be.
For real, put him in it. I've seen people who did this, who had to do this at weddings. Put him at a table in the back and give him the iPad. I don't care.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean,
right, but like the whole of Britain and the world and
the
Commonwealth.
I know. He's
the
prince. He's the prince. He's the spare.
I mean,
but he's not
honestly,
even the king.
Louis,
he's not
Louis
even going to be the king.
Louis's in one of the hardest positions as in terms of the birth order. Like being third in the birth order is like, you are like, I mean, who knows what they'll do by the time he's an adult, but it's not a good place to be. But he's very cute. He's adorable.
They're all pretty cute, I would say.
Adorable kids. Oh, they're really cute.
I went to the UK right after the birth of Charlotte, and I bought a commemorative shot glass that has all of her. It has her name, and it has their family portrait on it, and it has her like birth weight and stuff.
That's so fucking weird.
I was like, what the hell is this?
Body
but
shaming kids
it.
From the time they're born.
I do have it. It's so funny to have a shot glass with a family portrait on it, like a little sweet, like with their bit the baby in her christening dress.
I honestly feel that like the one of the weirdest things, just as you mentioned, why is like the weight and the length of the baby so important? Like, why?
I don't know, but maybe. If and when I give birth to my own baby, I'll be like, I gotta know the size. Like, I gotta write down the size of this baby.
But I mean to share to others.
I don't know.
Like, why would you put that on a shot glass? A commemorative one.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you would put it on a shot glass, for sure. I get wanting to have the information for yourself. But yeah, I do feel like it's always on the cards, on the birth announcement. I don't know, maybe it's like kind of a relic of old times where it says, like, this is a healthy baby.
That's like a good point.
Like this baby, it's packing on the pounds. It's got little squishy rolls. It's looking good.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Princess Charlotte is adorable. I'm excited to see like how she ends up.
Yeah. I've never gotten to see like a princess from start to finish.
You're right. It's so weird that like they... Like, princess as a concept, and, like, they're the real one, you know?
Yeah, she's a real princess. She actually is. That is her title, and she's a princess.
Right. She just got born to the right people, I guess. So fucking
weird.
Yeah,
and I used to always think when I was little that, like, princess, you could only be princess when you were young. But you just stay princess.
Yes. I also used to think that. I thought, like, a princess was a pre-queen.
Yeah, exactly. And you would always become
graduate.
A queen. But no.
Yeah.
You don't always become a queen. You can become a queen.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
speaking of people who are in charge in England, we're staying in British news because today, this very day, Boris Johnson is facing a no confidence vote that he might imminently lose his job. Who knows? Maybe when we put the episode out, I don't know what time it is there versus here. I don't know how any of that works. But Conservative Party official Graham Brady announced on Monday that he had received letters calling for a no confidence vote from at least 54 Tory legislators, enough to trigger the measure under party rules. So this basically means, like, in the British system, because it's a prime minister, he rules, he's in charge because his party says he's in charge. If a majority of members of his party, or I don't know if it's a majority, but whatever, if at least 54 members say, hey, we want to call a vote on you, they can call a vote. This is happening. He said the vote would take place in the House of Commons tonight. So depending on, I don't know if it's tonight there.
Well, it's 5:30 now. It's 5:30 there now.
Okay, so it's probably happening.
Like, in 2 hours, it'll probably be like,
it'll be happening very soon. Yeah. The result is expected later tonight. Basically, they'll cast paper ballots. They'll have to hand them over. To remain in office, Johnson needs to win the backing of a simple majority of 359 conservative lawmakers. If he doesn't, the party will choose a new leader who will then also become the prime minister. Basically, this is
big
all
deal.
Going down. It's a huge deal, and this is all going down because of something we've talked about on the podcast before, which are these parties that Boris held during the height of British lockdown. And, like, what I always try to remind people is that British lockdown was different than here. It was serious. You actually got in trouble. People actually stayed home. You didn't see loved ones in the hospital who were dying. It was for real. And meanwhile, it came out that Boris Johnson was having all these parties. He was having holiday parties. They were apparently ragers. Like, people were puking and, like, getting
yeah, really they were like Gatsby. I mean, not really.
But yes.
But small.
Not as glamorous, probably. Just like, I just feel like a Boris Johnson. Yeah, I just don't think a Boris Johnson party. Like, Daisy's not there.
But, like, Bojo is, I know he's like a clown to us, but in terms of British society, and British listeners, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think he has, like, some clout due to, like, family, where he went to school, like, his kind of, you know, that kind of stuff matters there. I think he has that breeding.
His family has land in the something shire. And
maybe. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
I think he, you know, he has that. So who knows? I mean, we will include in the description whether he is still the prime minister or not.
Yeah, Liz, because this is actually breaking news. He really might lose it. I mean, there were reports of him doing cocaine.
Ooh, we go back
do
to
I
want to
predict? Do I want to get into the predict? Oh, yeah, there were like, they like found people doing cocaine and stuff. It was, I mean, the parties are for serious.
Just there's like Madison Cawthorn kind of implied.
Exactly. Conservatives love to do cocaine at work. I think that's I think both parties probably do cocaine. I just think it's at work. Conservative cocaine at work. I mean, Reagan is the 80s. Is the 80s. Margaret Thatcher. They're trying to bring it back. They're trying to bring it back to the 80s. There's no clear person who will take over if he does lose the no confidence vote. And it's also like, even if he survives it, it's not good for his prime ministership. Like, Theresa May survived a no confidence vote, but then she ended up resigning a few months later because she just never really fully was able to be authoritative again. So who knows? My prediction? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he stays.
Okay. I'm going to say he goes, just because we're going to predict the opposite things. And
we'll see.
But like you said, I think either way, having the vote at all, very bad vibes.
It's not good.
If you have to ask whether there's confidence, there's no confidence.
I really do. I envy the votes of no confidence, though, that like the parliamentary system has. Oh, and then you can just call an election at every time and at any time and be like, actually, it's fucked up. We're doing it again. Like,
yeah. I mean, that, we blew it
not putting anything in with that. So I do love that they're able to do that. The reason I just went with no is because 54 is actually not, like, that's a pretty low number for 300 that he needs. And also, I don't know, I feel like maybe if there was someone where it looked like they really wanted to, like, if it said that there was someone better who it seemed like they had in mind, where they were like, whatever, let's get rid of this guy who's like clownish and always has all these scandals and get this new guy in charge, then it would be different. But since it says that there's not really anybody, that's my feeling, where it's like, then this isn't serious. Because if it was serious, someone would be like stepping forward being like, you should pick me.
Right, right. No, I, by that logic, I agree with you, but by the logic of I'm just picking the opposite of what you're picking.
100%, 100%.
I'm going to go with he's out. Yeah, he's out.
Maybe I'm already wrong. Maybe by the time this episode comes out, I'm already wrong. It's happened before.
We would have before this comes out, maybe, but we would have a notification if it happened already, like by now.
Yeah. I just mean by the time the podcast too early. Comes out.
They're having tea right now, I'm pretty sure. This isn't the nighttime.
Aren't they always?
This is tea.
Aren't they always?
5:30, I'm pretty sure, is squarely tea time, if I had to guess. Or it's like close of tea time. I don't fucking know anything about them. But again, this is British news, so.
This is British news. And I think that actually brings us to the end of our episode, so.
It does.
This is British news, and until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.